Well, today we're going to talk about favoritism. Everybody participates in favoritism, whether you believe it or not. Everybody does. I have three favorite colors that I want to share with you today. Do you remember? My first favorite color is paisley. My second favorite color is tie-dye. And my third favorite color is rainbow. We all have our favorites, don't we? We all have favorites, this, that, and the other. Well, I want you to hear what James has to say and what the Bible has to say about favoritism. So in James chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but you say to the poor man, "Stand here," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the holy name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the loyal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. Now, first thing you need to know is in James' world, things were a little bit different than they are in our world today. In the very beginning and in the first church, they didn't have a building. They did not have a building to maintain. They did not have a building that they could meet in. Sometimes they would still be allowed to meet in the synagogue, but not always. Oftentimes they had to trust someone to use their home, and oftentimes it might be a rich person because they were the ones that had a home that could be used with enough room for a worship service. So it's a completely different world than we find ourselves in. But the reality of the situation is the same as the reality of our situation. We need money to exist. We need money for the nice air conditioners that's got you too cool this morning that you don't like it. Some of us are comfortable. We need money for the electricity so the air conditioner or the heat will work. You see, in James' day and age, they needed money. So when someone came into their worship service that was rich, they treated them with favoritism. They wanted to make sure that they had the best seat. They wanted to make sure that everything was right for them because they were looking to those folks in order to have what they needed in their church. Remember, they don't have a building. So if one of the rich people were to open their house to give them a place to meet, they wanted to treat them as a favorite. So that as they treated them kind and nice, they would continue to be able to meet there. So the world is completely different for James, but they need benefactors. Just as we need benefactors. just as we need to give to the kingdom in order for the kingdom to expand and to grow, and in order for all the things to happen that happens here at the church, just as we need that, so did the church for James, and maybe even in a deeper and a richer way, because they just didn't have. Many of the folks who came to church had nothing. I still remember going into one church in Kenya, and they brought all kinds of fruits and vegetables. And it was auctioned off so that they would have money for things at the church. They provided a way for even the poorest of people to give a donation to the church in some way. You know, it's very easy for us to read this passage and for us to go, well, we don't do that. You know, we don't see rich people come into the church and we coddle them and make sure they got the best seat, and if it's really hot outside, they get to sit right underneath the air conditioner vent, because we don't want them to get hot. We want them to... It's very easy for us to say we don't do that, isn't it? We don't operate church that way. Because I know that some of you will come to me after service and say, well, Pastor, we don't do that here. We invite all people in, and we welcome all people in, and we want all people to be here to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And we don't do like this, and we don't make rich people sit on the pews and poor people sit on the floor. Now, some of us don't mind sitting on the floor, by the way. I can be much more comfortable on the floor than I can sitting in the pew sometimes. And I wouldn't mind if you lay down, because, well, no, don't lay down in the pew. But you see, in James' day, they were treating them differently when they came to worship service. And it's very easy for us to say, we don't do that here. But here's the question I want to ask. What happens when we walk outside the church building? Do we treat people differently then? What happens when we walk outside the church building? If you were here a few weeks ago when my buddy Kevin was here, and he talked about a restaurant, and he talked about people in the restaurant preferring to have a bad Saturday night working than have to work during the church crowd on Sunday from 12 to 2. One of our members of the church came to me and said, I worked in a restaurant before. And I specifically asked them never to work me from 12 to 2 on Sundays. Now, you know what? That speaks volumes about how we act differently outside church. That if people that normally work in the restaurant business don't want to work when church folks show up to eat, wow. And Kevin spoke about that what people did instead of leaving a tip was to leave a track or a business card about when church is. I can't believe that. I have a hard time believing that. Do we act differently outside church than we do inside church? When you've got to wait a little bit longer at a restaurant for your food, and you see that somebody was there before you, or I mean somebody was there after you, they ordered their food after you, they get their food first, and you're still sitting there? How does that make you feel then? Are you willing still to have grace? And still to be calm and have peace? As we go about different places during the week, are we showing the same courtesy that we show inside the church building to folks? Are we talking to them the same way that we talk to people inside the church building? In the community where I came from, there were a lot of folks in the rural area that would not come to church. And some of them I would talk to and ask them why they wouldn't come to church. And some of them were some very good people. And I would say, how come you don't come to church? And they would say this, every time almost, Pastor, I don't come to church because those people act good in church, but you don't see them the rest of the week. You don't see how they act during the rest of the week. You don't see how they treat people and how they talk to folks. Do we show favoritism outside the walls of the church? Especially to those that can do something for our benefit? And do we not show any kind of kindness and gentleness and favorness to those who can't do anything for us? You see, it's easy for me to read the scripture and say, yes, as a church that gathers together on Sunday morning, we are very welcoming. We are people that reach out to touch people, to encourage people, to help people. I hear that again and again and again from our visitors. Wow, this church is so welcoming. Are we the same way on the outside of the walls? Do we call for me first on the outside of the walls, or are we just as courteous outside the walls of the church? Do we treat all people the same? I mean, I want to admit to you, it's hard. It is very hard. It's very hard when somebody comes in Monday morning to the church looking for help, and it's quite obvious they haven't had a shower in 2 or 3 weeks. It's quite hard then. It's quite hard when we see the people on the streets. As I drove into Richmond for my classes the 2 years I was there at Richmond Hill, and you see people on street corner begging for money. And my first reaction is to see them on the street corner and look away. If I don't look at them, they don't exist. If I don't look at them, they can't pull my heartstrings to help them. If I don't look at them, I don't have to worry about them. Is that not showing favoritism? To people that are more pleasantly dressed, pleasantly smelling, more pleasant in their actions? Is that not showing favoritism? You see, James makes it pretty simple. Twice in this passage, in these 10 verses, he says that showing favoritism in any way is sin. Showing favoritism in any way is sin. James doesn't call it anything else. And sin is something that separates us from God. Favoritism is sin. Do we do that as we help folks? Do we treat everyone equally? Our love for others should be the same no matter who they are, where they're from, or what condition we find them in. Our love for others should be the same, no matter who they are, where they are from, or what condition we find them in. You see, in this passage, James quotes Leviticus 19:11. Love your neighbor as yourself. And here's a really good test for you this week. When you treat somebody a certain way, would you treat yourself that way? If you were to ignore other people, would you like it if you were ignored? When you need help, would you like for somebody to help you? You see, the scripture makes a very easy test. Love your neighbor as yourself. No matter who they are, no matter where you find them, no matter what condition they're in, they're your neighbor. They're a person that we need to help. They're a person that we need to reach out to. They're a person that needs help. So yeah, sometimes it's a little bit easier to be kinder inside the church walls. But what about when we're outside them? Do we show the same kind of kindness to other people? So I leave you with this question. Do you love others the same way you love yourself? Do you love others the same way you love yourself? If you're saying me first, would you allow others to go first? Do you love others the same way you love yourself? Let us pray. Lord, sometimes the scriptures are awful shocking words for us. Sometimes it's easy to say we don't do what happened in James' church. But sometimes we need to look a little bit deeper. Maybe we don't do it in this inside the walls of the church, but do we do it outside? And how would that be any different? Lord, there's an awful lot of hurting people in our town. There's an awful lot of hurting people that need to hear the gospel. There's an awful lot of hurting people that it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter where they came from. And it doesn't matter, Lord, whether they smell or not. What matters is they're your creation, they're your people, and they're people that need Jesus Christ. Help us that we may never in any of our lives show favoritism, but that we might always reach out, that we always might help up, or even help down if people need to be helped down, to come to the cross to know more about you. Lord, please guide us this week that we might truly love other people in the way that we would like to be loved also. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.